Please rise. And hear again a portion of the Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 11th chapter. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent to him, saying, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." This is the gospel of the Lord, and this is our text. You may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. During the season of Lent and our midweek Lenten services, I have shared word about passion personalities, those who came into contact with Jesus during his ministry, especially during the time of his passion. Exactly when Nicodemus first came into contact with Jesus, I'm not sure, but he who came under the cover of darkness, addressing him only as Rabbi, would assist in his burial, knowing him to be the Lord. Pontius Pilate, Judas Iscariot, Simon of Cyrene, and this past Wednesday, the thief on the cross, have garnered our attention, even as we still have left to consider the centurion, Simon Peter, and Joseph of Arimathea as we move through the rest of Lent on to Holy Week on our way to Easter. With the exception of the temptation account in St. Matthew's Gospel, the very first Sunday in Lent, all the Gospel accounts during our Sundays in Lent on Sunday morning have come from the Gospel according to St. John. During our journey through these Sundays, we have seen Jesus resist the evil one's temptation, discussing then with Nicodemus how one needed to be born from above in order to see God's kingdom. We recall Jesus offering water that wells up to eternal life to a Samaritan woman at Jacob's well, even as he told her everything that she had ever done. Last week, we witnessed the intense opposition of the Pharisees to Jesus and anyone who confessed him as Messiah, as we saw with our eyes of faith, Jesus giving sight to a man who had been blind from birth. This morning, St. John takes us ever closer to Jerusalem, to a village called Bethany, so that we might behold another sign that shows Jesus to be who he claims to be, which is the great I Am. The personalities that we find surrounding Jesus this morning and the one who is central to this text could very well have been part of the passion personalities from our Wednesday evening services, as they play a central role in this passion account. The friends of Jesus, Martha and Mary and Lazarus, are central to today's gospel account that would have us know by faith that Jesus is the resurrection and the life, and at the same time see the very glory of God as Jesus is glorified. As I've had opportunity to consider these gospel accounts of the life and ministry of Jesus, all from St. John, except for the account from Matthew of Jesus' temptation, it became apparent to me that it should be obvious to anyone listening to these accounts that Jesus has a twofold nature. He is divine and human. He's true God and he's true man. We confess this truth about the second person of the Trinity every week in the words of the Apostles and Nicene Creeds. In the Apostles' Creed, we say it this way: he was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and he was born of the Virgin Mary. And with Luther, many of us learned to say it like this: I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord. In the Nicene Creed, a 4th century confession of faith that was written to defend the divinity of Jesus, we confess Jesus in this way: he is God of God, light of light, very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made. Our gospel account this morning could be labeled then a human interest story, as it speaks about Jesus, true God and true man, and as it speaks about his special relationship that he has with these residents in this little town called Bethany. It could also be seen then as an account of a supernatural event, which indeed it is. So it's a human interest story coupled with a supernatural event. In any event, Jesus would have us see the glory of God through him and through his work. Jesus had some dear friends in the town of Bethany, a small village only a couple miles outside of Jerusalem. Two sisters that you should know well, Martha and Mary, along with their brother Lazarus. The sisters sent word to Jesus that their brother was ill, and Jesus, who was with his disciples, pointed out this illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Jesus, according to his divine nature, possessed the divine attribute known as omniscience. He knew where this illness that his dear friend Lazarus had would end. And he knew what he was going to do already. But he did not immediately choose to go to Bethany, staying where he was two more days. Going to Bethany would have been dangerous for Jesus at this time in his ministry. From last week's gospel account, we saw that continued antagonism that existed between Jesus and the Pharisees, which was carried over from a very brutal discourse that he had with them in the 8th chapter of John. So Bethany, because of its close proximity to Jerusalem, would find Jesus putting himself in harm's way, for shortly before this, the Jews had tried to stone Jesus when he was at the temple for the Feast of Dedication. This they did in response to him saying, "I and the Father are one." His disciples reminded him of the danger in going, but Jesus pointed out to them that his friend Lazarus had fallen asleep. And then he made clear to them what he meant when he said, "Lazarus has died, and for your sake, I am glad that I was not there so that you may believe." Based on this statement from Jesus, the disciples were still unclear about the very nature of who he truly was. And so they needed yet another sign of his divinity. At this point in our gospel account that serves as our text, I want you to hear from Thomas, the one history has labeled doubting Thomas, and what he said to his fellow disciples. He said, "Let us also go that we may die with him." Certainly this statement does not sound like Thomas had any doubts as to where his loyalties were to be placed. So as Jesus approached the village of Bethany, where many had gathered to give comfort and consolation to the sisters, to Martha and to Mary, Martha went out to meet him, but Mary, grief-stricken as she was, remained in the house. Martha addressed Jesus as Lord and told him, "If you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." Was Martha convinced that Jesus could have Lazarus raised from the dead? Was she convinced of that? She indicated to Jesus that she knew he would rise again in the resurrection on the last day, but did she think that Jesus could raise him from the dead, even at that time? Then Jesus once again puts forth his claim to divinity by saying to Martha, "I am. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die." In comforting his dear friend, Jesus was also challenging her to see him for who he really was. That he was God of God. That he was light of light. Very God of very God. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life." Then he asked her for a confession of faith. Do you believe this? And Martha responded by confessing, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." So too Mary, upon Martha's urging, went out to see Jesus. And when Jesus saw her grief, he had great compassion on her and asked her and those mourning with her, "Where have you laid him?" In reference to her brother Lazarus. And they invited him to come and see. It is here that Jesus, according to his human nature, allows his emotions to be seen as they come rushing upon him, and Jesus weeps. When we speak of the attributes of Jesus that show his humanity, we speak about his need to eat and his need to sleep, and we also point out how he showed human emotion as he responds to the grief of Mary and Martha, as well as to the death of his dear friend Lazarus, by openly showing his grief. Jesus reached out to Martha and Mary in their grief and pain. He sought to console these dear friends of his, and he did so by assuring them that their brother would rise again. What greater assurance can one have? Jesus still comes to us, his friends, those he loves whom believe in him and trust in his promises. He still comes to us in our grief and pain amidst the changes we reluctantly encounter in this life, and assures us by the power of his word that all who believe in him will live even though they die. He comes to us in the words of absolution, declaring to us that our sins are forgiven for his sake. He comes to us in the read and preached word, which declares to us that this man born of Mary is also our Lord, our God. He is the great I am. He comes to us in a miraculous way beneath the forms of bread and wine, giving to us his very body and blood, which were given and shed for us for the forgiveness of our sins. In all these things, we find great comfort, knowing that he knows our needs, and further knowing that our sickness will not lead to death, but it is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. So Jesus goes to the place where Lazarus was put to rest, where he had been entombed for 4 days, and he orders the stone removed from the tomb's entrance, and he calls Lazarus forth from the dead. So indeed Jesus, who in dialogue with the Pharisees pointed out to them that Abraham rejoiced at seeing his day, who had given sight to the man born blind, who spoke of himself as the good shepherd of the sheep who lays down his life for the sheep, also showed his divine power by calling Lazarus from the dead. As St. John began his gospel account, he pointed to Jesus as being from the beginning with God. He showed Jesus to be the source of light and life, who came to dwell among us, full of grace and truth. This great miracle of Jesus further confirmed his divine nature, and it caused many of the Jews who had come to give comfort and consolation to their friends Mary and Martha to believe in what they saw, for they saw the glory of God. Yet it would not be long before Jesus would further show his human nature, show that he was true man, who came for us and for all, and for our salvation, as he allowed himself to be betrayed, arrested, condemned, flogged, beaten, and ultimately crucified, so that he might lay down his life for us, for you and for me, so that we might have eternal life with him. In order that this might be done, so that he could be the once and for all sacrifice for our sins, Jesus had to be true man. As John pointed out in the beginning of his gospel account, this word, which was God in the beginning, became flesh, in order to be among us as one of us, yet remained sinless, so that he might be the perfect once and for all sacrifice for your sins and my sins and the sins of all. He did the Father's will for us as true man. And 3 days later, God raised him from the dead and has given him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that all who believe in him will live even though they die. As Jesus promised, all of this is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. For he is the resurrection and the life, our Lord Jesus Christ. And with believing hearts, we say, Amen. May this peace of God, which surpasses our human understanding, guard our hearts and guard our minds in faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.